Welcome to episode 416 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther. And this is the show where we talk about Microsoft entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms.
Richard, we took a week off because there wasn't really a whole lot going on last week. And apparently everybody else took a week off too, because we don't have any feedback to discuss this week.
That's okay. You know, sometimes we end up spending a lot of time on feedback, don't get to cover all the news stories, and this way we can dive in a little bit more if we need to. But it would be great if people wanted to send us feedback for next week. How do they do that?
They can shoot us an email at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, or if you want to hook up with us on Twitter, lots of other ways, all of that contact information is in the show notes, or we'll run through it at the end of the show.
Very cool.
Let's jump into the news.
I'm confused, Josh. There's what? No feature, but the first video story is about Groove. What is going on?
Well, it's summer, and it's slow. No, So it's Groove, and it's our video news, which is weird. But on Windows 10 with. And this is the current version of Windows 10. Like, you don't have to be a special insider person. You don't need to be running some crazy preview build. If you're just on the creator's update and you actually update your apps, which you should probably just do automatically, then Groove on your Windows 10 PC now has music video support built into it the way that the Xbox does. And that seems cool. It seems really cool. And you probably have this functionality, but you might not have noticed it because it's kind of buried. To get to it, go to an artist page. You should probably pick an artist that you know as music videos. Don't pick some like, Bach probably doesn't have music videos, would be my guess. probably just guessing. So I picked Counting Crows. I know Counting Crows has music videos. So I went to, the Counting Crows section in my Groove music library. And if you scroll down past the songs and albums and all that stuff, right before you would get to the part for related artist is now a horizontal strip of music videos for that particular artist, which is awesome, I think, except that I can't actually use it because it requires a Groove music pass to watch the videos. Boo.
Oh, for everybody.
For everybody. Oh. Yeah. When I went to click on it, the very first message that popped up was something like determining trial eligibility. And since I had a Groove Music Pass trial, probably back when it was Zune Music Pass.
Right.
They have a long memory and realized, yeah, you're not eligible for the trial anymore, buddy. How about you drop us $10 a month or $100 a year for a Groove Music Pass subscription, and then you can watch music videos on your PC. No thanks. I'll stick with Spotify. I don't need music videos that much. But I do think that this is really cool functionality, and it would be fun to play with if it didn't require that subscription.
It is cool. You know, the thing that I'm a little bit frustrated by is that with this being a part of the artist section, how would you know, for example, if you go to a song, if it has an associated video?
Ooh, that's a good question, and a question that I can probably answer fairly quickly. So I'm back at Counting Crows, and I see that Mr. Jones, of course, has a music video. So if I was just on the Mr. Jones page, no, it doesn't really seem to indicate that. So, but like when I clicked on that song and it took me down to the filtered view, it still shows the music videos section, and you can tell it to just play like all of the music videos like you would a playlist.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. That's kind of cool.
At least for a particular artist. I'm not sure if there's a good way of saying like, play me a mix of music videos for lots of people that I listen to, because that would be even better. That would require some more digging in. But again, I can't do any of this because I don't have Groove Music. So,
yeah.
And frankly, I still think that's more useful on my Xbox than it is on my computer.
Oh, totally. Totally. So yeah.
That's really where I would want it. The other downside that
let me let you in a little hint. You already have that. It's called YouTube.
Well, yes, and that's essentially what this is, right? But it's a little bit more curated and you don't have to do as much work and you don't have to watch ads. The downside to that though is what are the chances of the audio quality being as good in the music video as it is in your local copy or whatever, you know, like whether you've ripped your music to a high bitrate MP3 or purchased it as a high bitrate MP3 or AAC or something like that. The chances of the audio quality in the music video being as good as your locally stored file, probably pretty slim, right?
Mm, that's really interesting and kind of, I don't know, unexpected, right? I mean, you might think that that's the case, and that's probably the case. But technically, if you think about it, it's video, and a lot of video on a lot of services is available in surround. And I know that when you watch videos on some services, you're actually getting the audio in 5.1, particularly in concert video. So it'd be interesting to see if they ever try and improve on that, because it's an opportunity to actually deliver better video quality, particularly on the Xbox, or better audio quality, rather.
Right. Yeah, that'd be really cool. That would almost be worth paying for, but
almost.
Probably still not. Right. Well, since we're talking groove, why don't we move on to some more audio-focused groove news here? And that is, it looks like a future version of Groove is going to be including some support for advanced visualizers. Now, for those who might not know what the heck we mean when we say the term visualizers, if you're old like Richard and I, then you probably remember Windows Media Player or maybe even that wonderful, wonderful Zune desktop app. And they had the ability to do cool visual things in the player while your music was playing. Maybe it was cool line graphics that moved to the beat of the music and stuff like that, or other like metadata focused visualizations where album information and song information and stuff like that would be displayed in a cool artistic way on the screen. That's what we're talking about when we say visualizers. Groove doesn't really have any of that stuff, but if you're on the Skip Ahead Insiders build, which
right.
Like, I could go off on a rant here about the different insiders builds.
You don't even have to.
No, my sigh is enough, I think. If you're on that build, then that allows you to be running, you know, future versions of Windows 10, but still get updates to the built-in apps like Groove. If you're in that situation, then you have a new version of Groove. It has other things, like it has more of those fluent design languagey changes to it. But in buried into the settings and in the playback settings section, there's an option now called visualizers. Now, when you click on it, it says this feature is not supported in this app or something like that. So it's obviously a placeholder. It's not like this is something old that's just still in there. This is something new that just hasn't been enabled yet. So hopefully they're going to make Groove bring back some of the coolness of the old Zune desktop app. I loved the Zune desktop app. Did you ever use the Zune desktop app much, Richard?
No, I didn't actually. not much at all. And I mean, think about it. Visualizers are not new only to that app. I mean, before Zune, you had Media Player, which had visualizers.
Yep.
And so what I really want to know is, are we going to get the visualizers back that are like the 60s acid trip visuals?
Right. Well, and even before some of those Windows Media Player visualizers, I still can't say it. I'm just going to stop trying to say it now. Winamp. Winamp had some awesome ones.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there were some cool ones. Hopefully, you know, it is 20 years later than when we first started messing around with Winamp. So hopefully we've got some far cooler visualizers. That's the only way I'm going to be able to say it the rest of the night is if I say it really, really slowly. So instead, how about we just move on to the next story?
Let's do it.
All right. On to gaming news. Richard, back in June, the Xbox Gaming Pass first became available publicly. And as a reminder, Xbox Game Pass is a $10 a month subscription service that gives you unlimited access to a library of games. They're Xbox One and Xbox 360 games. You pay Microsoft $10 a month, and you get to download these games onto your PC, onto your Xbox, and play them as much as you want for the month. And back at the time, they said, you know, this is our initial catalog, but we're going to be adding to this. Well, it's August now, and they've added some games to it.
So if I remember, July was a big dud. So is August any better?
August is better. They've added Dirt Rally, which I love that game. Like, if you're into rally racing, Dirt Rally is the best game out there. Dead Rising 3, a great action game. Lots of people love Dead Rising and that whole series. Limbo. Last year, you know, people heard us raving about Inside. Well, the company that made Inside, before they made that, they made Limbo. You've probably played Limbo by now, but if not, it's a really great 2D puzzle-y game. They've also added So Many Me, Ultratron, Metal Slug XX, which I think that's an Xbox 360 game, and one that I've never heard of, Pharaonic. It's supposed to be like Pharaoh. This is like set in Egypt. I've never heard of this game. This game might be terrible for all I know, considering I've never even heard of it. But So Many Me is an interesting Xbox One game. It was free as games with gold probably a year and a half ago or more. But hey, it's all free games if you're paying for the Xbox Game Pass. And I would say this month, not really a bad month. And no games removed this month, at least not that they've said that they're removing yet. So they did say when they announced Xbox Game Pass that eventually some games would probably be removed from the service, but we haven't seen that yet. So I'd say that makes August a pretty good month.
Cool. Very cool. All right. Well, one of the things that we end up reporting on pretty frequently, because it seems like every other month they're coming out with new versions of these, is new controllers. And in fact, there are new controllers, some available now as of the time you're listening, some available for pre-order. And there are three new designs available. One is green-gray. One is called Volcano Shadow Special Edition. And yet another is called Patrol Tech Special Edition. Josh, this green-gray, I am loving this green-gray.
That's the one that I like the most, too. Although I think they should probably call it the gray-green. Well, actually, they shouldn't call it either of those because the name is terrible. What? But it is a predominantly gray controller, but the under part of the thumbsticks is like a neon green.
Right.
And it's cool looking.
Yeah. They did the same thing for this. Like they did, I forget what they called the one that was blue with yellow stalks. And I loved that because it was like navy colors. I thought that was so cool. Mm-hmm. And that's not a customization that you can do if you build your own custom controller. You can't just have a different color on the underside of the thumbsticks.
Right. The other thing worth pointing out here on the Patrol Tech Special Edition, this is one of the ones that has the big rubber bumpy grip on the top part of the controller where your hands go. So that's pretty much Well, I think they had announced another controller similar to this a while ago, or they was did. That this one?
No, I think they announced this a while ago because this looks very familiar. And
yeah.
If I remember, I liked this, you didn't, because I still like this.
Yeah. I don't like the way it looks. I am curious how it feels and if it would be nice to play with for a couple hour or more. It doesn't really matter. I'm not buying any of these. I have enough Xbox One controllers. I really like my yellow Design Lab controller.
Yeah.
But the, how I'm going to call it, gray-green controller and the Volcano Shadow, I think both of those are really cool-looking controllers.
And they're like both available now. The gray-green or green-gray or whatever you want to call it is going to be $64.99. The Volcano Shadow Special Edition is $69.99, and if you want to wait a little bit, you can pre-order the Patrol Tech Special Edition for $69.99. That will be available on the 5th of September.
Another thing worth reminding our listeners about, you might be thinking, why would I want to buy all of these weird-looking different controllers? If you remember, the very last episode we recorded, we talked about a new feature that the Xbox One has now, where you can essentially assign a controller to an account. So if everybody in your household had their own very different looking controllers, it would make it way easier for everyone to say, all right, the Volcano one is Susie's. And when Susie, you know, turns on that controller, it automatically signs her in. And when Jimmy turns on the gray-green controller, it automatically signs him in. That's a great use case for all of these different controller designs.
And further really makes them great gifts for a household that has an Xbox.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, there was one other announcement in this post. It wasn't just controllers, but Microsoft also has revved the Xbox wireless adapter for Windows 10. And this is the little, well, I shouldn't say little. It is the USB dongle. At least the previous version wasn't little. That allows you to pair up to 8 Xbox One controllers to a PC using the special wireless technology that the Xbox controllers use. It's not Bluetooth in this case. If you're using the wireless adapter, I believe it's actually using Wi-Fi Direct instead of Bluetooth, and then you can have up to 8 controllers connected to a PC. It also allows you to use like the headphone or the headset adapters and things like that. Although if you start tossing in headset adapters, it supports less controllers. It gets a little confusing. Anyway, there's a new version of this wireless adapter. It's the same price as the old one. It basically has the same features of the old one. It's just way smaller. It's like half the size of the old adapter. And that's a really great thing because the old one is enormous. It's like 3 inches long. It is so huge. It's like, I don't care that much because it's connected to my desktop PC and it's in a hub that's under my desk and no one sees it. But if I wanted to travel with this plugged into my laptop, there's no way. It's way too big.
Yeah. And I have a really hard time understanding why this is even necessary. When we have all of these protocols and radios already, why did they have to do something new, different, and special that requires a freaking extra dongle to make it work? That just makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Well, it makes sense because the controller does, like, because it supports things like the headset adapters and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Yep. You know what? You can do all of that over Bluetooth. All of it.
Well, you could if the Xbox was using Bluetooth stuff. But then your computer has to support Bluetooth too then. And
what computer doesn't support Bluetooth nowadays?
My desktop PC doesn't support Bluetooth. I don't have a Bluetooth adapter on my desktop PC.
How old is your friggin' desktop PC? Come on.
It's a custom-built PC.
Yeah. And how old is it?
4 years?
Uh-huh.
3 years? It's not that old. I don't know. Like, I'm hoping to maybe rebuild this thing in the coming months. I haven't looked at motherboards that much recently. Maybe motherboards now do include Bluetooth on like all of them. But back when I built this thing, they sure as heck didn't. I don't know. All right, so let's move on. A little bit more Xbox news here. This is some of the most delicious Xbox gaming news that we've had in a while. Maybe. I guess it depends on...
That was really bad. I do agree with you for what it's worth.
Oh, do you? I thought for sure you'd be like, oh, puke, it's Taco Bell. Yes, oh, no. It's Taco Bell.
No. One day all restaurants will be Taco Bell.
I like Taco Bell, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. And it's going to work out well for me because starting August 31st and running through October 4th, Microsoft and Taco Bell are teaming up for a contest where if you buy their steak quesarito box, then you'll get a code that you can text into them and enter a contest to win an Xbox One X, Forza Motorsport 7, and a 3-month Xbox Game Pass subscription. That's pretty awesome for buying a $5 quesarito box.
It is pretty awesome. I'm still stuck on the why.
Well, so I think there's a couple of reasons why. The first one kind of makes sense. The second one is super cheesy. So the first one is back when the original Xbox launched back in 2001, Taco Bell was actually like a launch partner. I don't remember this, but apparently they were. Now, the super cheesy reason for this, this is a quote from Marissa, I'm going to say Thalberg. She's the chief marketing officer at Taco Bell. If she's a chief marketing officer, she should know better than to say something like this. She says, "It's only fitting that the two brands that do boxes best have some of the greatest fans in the world have joined forces to box up the ultimate food and gaming offer for them."
That is terrible. I so wanted Isn't you it? To say that the cheesy reason was the delicious quesadillas.
Nope. My cheesiness is not even as bad as the chief marketing officer for Taco Bell. They win, not me.
Oh, wow.
All I can say is I'm going to be eating some steak quesaritos come August 31st. Because winning a $500 console would be a heck of a lot better than buying one.
Yeah, because Xbox.
Exactly. All right, real quick. We've got, it's a new month, which means new games with gold. These are all free games available now on the Xbox One is Slime Rancher, and on 360, Bayonetta. Bayonetta was a critically acclaimed action game. Definitely worth checking that one out for free. And then in the second half of the month, you'll get Trials Fusion on Xbox One. This is a fun, arcadey, physics-based, like dirt bike racing game. It's a lot of fun, and especially fun with other people. You know, co-op. You know, racing against. These are all like short dirt bike races. It's a lot of fun. And then also on the 360 side, Red Faction Armageddon. That's another game I never played, and I will download when this becomes available, and we'll probably still never play.
You are starting to sound a lot like your co-host.
Yeah. Yes, I am. There's also a new, of course, sale this week. New deals with gold and spotlight sale. It's an okay sale. There's a lot of, like, it's a little weird. There's a bunch of DLC for Forza Horizon 2. Not Forza Horizon 3, which is kind of weird. There's the Inside and Limbo bundle for 50% off, but it feels weird paying for Limbo when it's so old at this point. And Tekken 7 is on sale, but it's only 25% off. So really, not really a ton jumping out at me. There's some older Call of Duty games on sale, and I mean really old, like Advanced Warfare, which is 2.5 years old, and Ghost, which is 3.5 years old. But that's how long you have to wait for Call of Duty games to go on sale at a reasonable price.
Wait. Ghost is 3.5 years old. Didn't Ghost come out with the Xbox One?
Yep.
The Xbox Which One was, is 3.5 years old?
It came out in November of 2013.
Oh, man.
Uh-huh. I know. It's crazy to think about it. But yeah, it's been out for that long. It'll be 4 years this fall.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of it for your deals with gold. I guess just stick with the free games this week instead of, you know, discounts on mediocre games.
All right. Well, that's pretty much it for our Microsoft news. I wanted to ask you, Josh, you started this Xbox Gaming Club thing. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so we started a club on Xbox called the Digital Media Zone Club for all of you wonderful people to get together and hopefully play some games together, but at the very least, chat and talk about what's going on in games. We've now got, I want to say, around 20-ish people in the club, which is cool because a lot of the requests that have been coming in to join the club are from gamer tags that I don't know. So I just know that they're listeners to the show, and that's really, really cool. There's been a little bit of conversation happening in there, which has been fun, but there hasn't been any gaming sessions that I know of, and that's probably mostly my fault. I was traveling over the last weekend, so I wasn't able to arrange anything there. And the previous weekend, you know, it was kind of brand new. So hopefully soon, if you're part of the club, throw a message in there. Talk, you know, feel free to create a looking for group request for games, and let's see if we can schedule something. I may have started the group, but it doesn't all have to go through me. If you guys want to schedule a gaming night or to check out a game that you've been really digging, feel free to throw a message in there and we'll see what we can arrange. Okay, guys? Because I'm looking forward to playing with y'all. So keep joining and hopefully we will all be playing together soon. All right, Richard, since that is all of the Microsoft news, let's move on to one more interesting piece of industry news.
Yeah, I put a quick piece up tonight about two new channels that are available on the Roku. And you may recognize this name, PlayOn. We talk about them all the time, almost as much as we talk about Plex. I wish the two of them would get together. I'd love to see them work together. Anyway, PlayOn gives you that ability to record content or stream content from streaming sites and watch it at your own time and on the device of your choosing. But they haven't had any real 10-foot interface solutions. They haven't allowed you to watch it on the big screen. And so by creating channels for the Roku, now you can actually see your PlayOn content on your big screen if you have a Roku. And that is a great thing. Here's what I don't like. And this is kind of, I would say, kind of par for the course with these PlayOn solutions. When PlayOn Cloud came out, one of my big complaints was that it was completely separate from PlayOn as we previously knew it, now called PlayOn Desktop. Completely separate. They have nothing to do with each other except for your account ID. And they still are. And on Roku, they have two completely separate apps. One is called PlayOn Cloud, and one on the Roku, tell me this isn't confusing, is called PlayOn Desktop.
Yikes.
And you need to download the appropriate PlayOn app for the service or services that you're using, and they don't recognize each other or work together in any way. I don't understand this. I don't understand why the team at Media Mall isn't trying to pull these two things together into one cohesive experience. Nonetheless, it's great that you can watch it on your big screen. So I would encourage, if you have a Roku, downloading these and trying it out. Because if you're a PlayOn user, this has been the big thing that's been missing. You've had to rely on like either screencasting through Google Chromecast or through AirPlay or something like that.
Do you think maybe they're separate because they think that most people would be a subscriber of one service or the other, not both?
That is possible. I think that the more realistic explanation is that they're separate because they're different platforms technologically, and they probably had entirely different teams working on them.
I agree, but I think part of that is because I think they want to just move to Play on Cloud. I mean, maybe I'm wrong there, but Play on Cloud is a far more simplified service, and it just fits more with how people are consuming media nowadays.
I think it does for the most part. It doesn't address the geek crowd, and that's one of the things that I kind of mention in my post, is that I think that just the fact that they still have two apps still more or less relegates this to the geek crowd, because you need to be a little bit technically savvy to at least understand the difference and be able to know which one you want for what. And the desktop means, oh, I have that server thing running, and so that's the one that's going to work with that. So who knows? Who knows? I mean, you might be right. I have both. I think both are valuable and serve different purposes for me. But yeah, you could be right. Whatever this is, I still scratch my head every time I use this service, wondering how it's legal.
Right. Well, it's cool to see both of these on the Roku, and hopefully we'll see an Xbox app.
Yeah, I would love to see it on Xbox and maybe Apple TV someday. Maybe, please.
Meh. Meh.
Hey.
All right, Richard. Well, you use PlayOn in your entertainment center, but what else is going on in your entertainment center?
I do. So I have good news regarding Plex, and that is that my program guide and recording schedule have been keeping up to date without any intervention from me.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Interesting.
I don't know why.
Okay. I guess that's good.
Exactly. But... exactly. It just started working. I'm not going to complain. Now, and you just mentioned the last time we recorded that there was an update, and that update included DVR updates. So maybe that included a fix. And there was just another update this week. So they're continuing to improve things. Maybe that was one of the bugs that they fixed, and I just missed it in the release notes. I'm not going to complain.
Nope.
Meanwhile, been watching a bunch of TV, keeping up with Nashville, finished season 5 of Gilmore Girls, started season 6, obviously keeping up with Big Brother, because, you know, Big Brother. We started watching a new series for us, not a new series, because its second season is just starting on BBC. And that's a series called Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
What?
Right.
What is that?
Right. The ads on BBC are so quirky. And so we're like, you know, I want to try it. I want to see what it's like. And it stars Elijah Wood, who most people know from the Hobbit movies. So
he's the Lord of the Rings movies, because those were actually worth watching.
Oh, ouch. Yeah, you're right, though. But yes, the Lord of the Rings movies. And, you know, he's a great actor. He's been acting in films since he was a little kid. And, you know, he's okay in this. He's okay in this. I wouldn't say this is his best work, but it's different for him. He's kind of like this quirky, funny guy who works as a sidekick to this detective that he's trying to figure out what this guy's story is. Is he really a detective, or is he just nuts and he's just kind of inserting himself into stuff? It's fun. It's fun. So season 2, I don't know if it's already started or it's starting, but season 1 is now available on Hulu. And so we started watching that, and it's kind of fun. And the latest legacy series that the guys over on Cord Killers are covering is Firefly. So I started watching that. You know, I just talked to Tom and I forgot to ask him if they were going to watch Serenity or not as part of this. I have to remember to do that. In any event, I'm up to episode 2. This week they'll be watching episode 3. And so I'm enjoying watching that. And except for the effects, which at the time, and by the way, the time is like something like 15 years ago, I think. At the time, they were pretty good. They don't hold up. They definitely don't hold up. But the story and the quirkiness of it and the characters and everything, the set, I think it all still holds up really well and just kind of shows what a really well-written series that was.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to interrupt you here because if I had actually reviewed what you had written as to what was going on in your entertainment center before we started recording this week, I probably would have said, Richard, take the week off. I'll do the show myself. Because these next two things that you've been doing are embarrassing for the both of us.
Okay, so we had a weekend guest this past weekend, and each night we went to watch a movie. And the first night we went to watch Arrival because she had never seen Arrival before.
Okay, that's a great movie.
You've
got
to see this movie. This is an amazing movie. You've got to watch this movie. And 15 minutes in, she was asleep, and Edward and I ended up watching all of Arrival again. And then the next night, we went to watch, I forget which one it was, Spirited Away, one of the Miyazaki movies. And I love this movie. It is so artistic, so creative. It is, I think, the best of Miyazaki. And it won the Academy Award for Best Feature-Length Animated Film the year that it was out. She got half an hour into it and fell asleep. The third night, we all agreed that we would watch Abraham Lincoln Vampire Killer. And I'd seen this before. We'd both seen this before. She had not. So we watched that. And this was not my favorite movie. So while this was on the whole time, I was really just distracted by playing my latest addiction, which is still Candy Crush. I know. I'm sorry. It's what it is. And can I tell you, I for the most part, enjoy this game, but the bombs are killing me. Man, the levels with the bombs, I just hate them. They stress me out. They make me not enjoy the game. What were they thinking? I don't get it. All right. That's all I'm saying about that. Finally,
good.
I've been listening to some music like I have every week, trying to take in some new music each week. And my latest, I'll call this my latest earworm, is something that you may know, but this is kind of like a blend of music that you love and music that I love. It is the Chainsmokers' Last Day Alive with Florida Georgia Line. I had no idea that they had a collaboration with Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah, so Chainsmokers is a really popular EDM duo.
Yeah.
And Florida Georgia Line is a country group, right?
It's a really popular country duo, yeah.
I am super familiar with the Chainsmokers. I've not actually heard this song.
Good song. You should listen to it.
I should, and I bet Jen would friggin' love it, because she does like some of the Chainsmokers stuff, and she loves country music. So maybe I'm making far too big of an assumption in that, you know, because she likes country music, she must love this Florida Georgia Line band. But I don't know. I guess I'll have to ask her when we're done recording.
Yep. How about
cool.
you?
I'll check
what
that out.
What have you been watching?
Well, you almost kicked me off of this show a couple of months ago when I mentioned that I had never watched Blade Runner.
I was ashamed. I mean, I was truly ashamed for us. You lost so much geek cred. It wasn't even funny.
So I flew out to Arizona again this last weekend, and that's a 3.5 to 4 hour plane ride by myself. So I took Blade Runner with me and watched it on the flight out there.
With or without narration?
Without narration.
Okay.
There's an option. Well, yeah, I suppose that would be like a special edition version.
The special edition version does not have the narration.
So, like, there's a version of this movie that has, like, a narrator?
Yeah, in the original version, Decker has voiceover throughout most of the film.
That might have helped. that might have been a good thing, because I'm not gonna say that this is a bad movie. What I am gonna say is it felt like there was a whole lot of story missing. Like, I was trying to think about this before the show tonight, so I haven't like gone and done some more research on it. But I've been wondering, is there a book of this movie?
Yes.
Like that this movie was based on? Because it feels like this was a fairly lengthy, heck, it might not have even have been a fairly lengthy book. It's like, because this isn't even a long movie. It's under 2 hours.
It's a full book. This is based on Philip K. Dick's Do Android Dream of Electronic Sheep?
Oh, so there isn't a Blade Runner book. It's just loosely based on that book.
This is that story.
Okay, it is the same story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's so much that just isn't really explained here.
And that is what the voiceover does. And so a lot of people that have only seen the special edition without the voiceover feel like the movie really drags and seems to lack a lot. And that seems to be what you're expressing. So it doesn't surprise me that you're having this reaction at all. I almost, and purists would hate me for this, but I would almost suggest to people that if you have not seen it after all this time, and you don't know that much about it, that you probably should see the original version of the film, because it helps you better understand it.
Yeah, I might actually try and watch that version of it, because I want to understand this more before the next Blade Runner movie comes out.
Right. There's a fair chance that's out on my server, Josh.
Okay. Well, and the confusing part there is that there were like three versions of this movie released. And if you talk to, you know, five different people, they'll all tell you different answers to which version you should watch. So at least I think there was more. I thought there was more than just the original and the special edition. I thought there was more than that. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But it was confusing. I don't know. Apparently I need to look for the one with narration, because I think that would explain things a lot more. The one other thing that also really stood out is, okay, that movie was released in 1981. Harrison Ford looks way, way younger in 1981 than he does.
Oh, yeah, he does.
In like Rogue One. Wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Think about that's 35 years ago.
Right. Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. Uh-huh. That's crazy. He wasn't, you know, he was already like a middle-aged guy at the time that he did that film. Right.
Right. Yeah. So that's it for things that I've watched. I have been playing Mass Effect Andromeda on the Xbox One. Played a little bit more of that. While I was on the plane, I managed to sort of wedge my laptop into my seat and my Xbox controller and played a little bit more of Shinus the Lightning Kingdom. And I'm still very much enjoying that very underrated game. And just to give a quick update on my TV situation, if you remember from the last episode, my 2016 M-Series 4K Vizio developed a weird issue with some big vertical black bar, intermittent issue, but they're replacing it. They are coming tomorrow to replace my TV. It's taken a little while longer than I had hoped. I got the call from them. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago that I had called them to say, hey, can we do something about this? And they said, yes, we can replace it. And we'll ship one out to you. And then when we ship it, when it gets to your area, someone from the company that we're shipping it to will call you and arrange delivery. Cool. It made it to my area last Monday. We're recording this on Tuesday. I called them the next day and they were like, how's next Wednesday work? What do you mean next Wednesday? That's more than a week away. Like, it's not that big of an issue because it's a very intermittent problem that has only happened a handful of times. But man, if my TV was seriously screwed up, I would be pretty annoyed that it's taken this long for it to for me to actually get the replacement model.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah. So that'll be tomorrow, and hopefully next week, I will be able to update everybody and say that the exchange went perfectly smoothly, and I've got a wonderful TV again. Hopefully.
Awesome.
Hopefully. All right, and that's it for my entertainment center.
All right, well, one quick announcement before we get out of here, and that is that this week I am the guest on the Undaunted podcast. Undaunted is a show that's hosted by a friend of mine, Anthony Lemus, and you may have heard his name before because he's one of the co-hosts of the Ritual Misery podcast that I occasionally join. Undaunted is a show where he interviews different podcasters about how they got started in podcasting and what they've learned along the way. And as part of the Diamond Club network, you can imagine he has a rich bed of people to draw from. He's previously interviewed Tom Merritt and a bunch of other people. So I was very excited to be on that. And Josh, you should listen to that because I give you some due credit for being my mentor along the way.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely have to check this out. Cool. All right. Well, if you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard, and the website is just at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. We're also on Facebook, where you can like us at facebook.com/thedmz. And Richard, you've got another podcast that you do that I definitely want to talk about this week. It's called Home On. You talk about home automation and control stuff, and you released kind of a special episode this week.
I did. We finally got the Smart Kitchen episode out. And what I'm talking about in that is some of the benefits and some of the challenges facing manufacturers and consumers as the smart kitchen space expands. And this included interviews with a whole bunch of different people. It was a lot of fun to do. It was a lot of work to do. So it took me quite a while to get out, but I hope people enjoy it. I think it is probably one of our better episodes.
Yeah, it was. I listened to it today. It was really, really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
All right. So that's a bunch of ways, including our email address, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. And then you can also talk to us live I was going to say in person, but I guess that's not exactly true. But we typically record the show live using Mixer on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We had some issues this week, so hopefully we'll get those resolved for next week, because we love having you all in the chat room talking with us while we're recording this. It's a lot of fun for us, and I think for you guys too. So hopefully we'll see you all there next week. Follow us on Twitter to find out for sure when those shows are going to happen, because that's going to do it for episode 416. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.